title of our lesson today is Jesus Taught on Spiritual Relationships, and our devotional background study comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Would there be any announcements before we go to our Sunday school class? Let's go to our Sunday school. Comes from Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now, in Luke chapter 8, this same event is described. And he adds a little bit more, so I'm going to go over there and read that. It's Luke chapter 8, verses 19 says, Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And he was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. So here in Luke, we find out that the reason they're outside is because there are so many people around Jesus that they can't get inside. And he says here that Jesus says that his mother and his brethren are those that hear the word of God and do his will. So now in Matthew, it says, Whosoever shall. You know, at this time, Jesus is speaking to Jews, primarily, I believe, in the area that he was in, it would have been primarily Jews. But when he says, whosoever will, shall, he includes everybody, the entire world. And that brings the Gentiles in. Anybody that hears the word of God and obeys and listens, and I believe that that's referencing being saved, coming under conviction, and repenting towards God, because the Bible says that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so a person that comes to repentance and is saved has done God's will in that aspect and has an opportunity to do God's will for the rest of their lives. Now, we know that it's God's will that all be saved. The lost aren't going to accomplish anything in God's will. They can't, because they're separated from God. But whosoever shall hear, anybody that shall be saved, that shall do the will of God, repent and be saved, has that opportunity. And that's who Jesus is speaking of there, being his brethren. Now, we talk to each other, and I say, Brother Don, Brother Bert, Sister Jean, and it's something of a habit. I mean, it may be for all of y'all, I don't know, but you don't really think about it, but that actually does mean something, because we really are brother and sister in Christ. We that have been saved have a relationship, and from the reading of the Bible and the way that Jesus spoke of it, of relationships, I have to believe that our spiritual relationships are in some ways stronger stronger than our natural relationships. And that's a little bit hard to comprehend, but we know that our spiritual relationships will last throughout eternity. These natural relationships that we have, they'll end in death. And that's something that's coming to all of us at some point. That's the nature of being a human, is to, at some point, you're going to come to a place of death. But being a saved individual, that's not the case. We're going to spend eternity together somewhere. And to me, that's very comforting, because I think about my mom and my dad. At some point, they're going to go on, but they've both given me a testimony that they're going to heaven. And I know that at best, I've got, at best, 40, maybe 50 years, probably not even that. That would put me at over 100. So I can stop and I can think, in that period of time, we're all going to be together again, because we're saved. We have not only a natural relationship, but a spiritual relationship. And yet, those of you that are here, I believe everybody here is given the testimony of salvation. We're going to be together in heaven at some point. Now, I don't think that relationship is going to be the same. I mean, it's not a natural relationship, but a spiritual relationship. And I know for sure that I won't be younger than y'all. And those of you here that are younger than me aren't going to be younger. We're all going to be, I guess, at a peak point, if that's how you would view it. But age isn't going to matter. We're not going to be getting older. There's not going to be anybody feeble. There's nobody going to be with bad eyesight, bad hearing, aching backs. That's not the case. That's all going to be done away with. So our physical bodies are going to be perfect. I'm getting a little off subject here, but what I'm trying to bring out is that our relationships in heaven will be perfect as well. And we will be a close-knit family in heaven. But we need to be that way here on earth. We need to have to cultivate our spiritual relationships. We need to think on these things. It shouldn't just be habit to say brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, but really a real connection there, a real bond between us that are saved. Now, the Bible says greater love. All right, I didn't look it up and I can't get it exactly right. So to paraphrase, the most love that a person can have for one another is to lay down their life, to give their life that another person might live, which is what Jesus did for us. He gave his physical life that we might have someone to go to in repentance and be saved and have everlasting spiritual life. And that is where those relationships come from, that brother and sister relationship comes from. And again, as Jesus pointed out here, it's those that do the will of his Father, that's his brother and his sister. Now, as I said at the start, the Bible states that it's not God's will that any should perish, that all should come to repentance, to salvation, to be saved. That is God's will. Once we're saved, we need to continue to strive to do God's will, because we still have that choice not to lose our salvation, but we still have the choice as to whether to continue to serve him and do what he'd have us to do, or we can go after things of the world. And that's a continuous warfare that goes on. It's something that I believe we all fight. This desire to have fun, to see things that are interested in, and to enjoy life. And I don't think God wants us to not enjoy life. Don't get me wrong. I don't believe God wants us to go down through life with our head hanging down and sad and upset. I don't think that's the way he wants it. He wants us to be happy, but he wants us to put him first. And I believe he wants us to put our spiritual relationships at a very high level of priority in our life, that we might be concerned with each other, to be in prayer for each other, to feel each other's pain when one of y'all has a relative in the hospital or someone that's sick. That needs to bother me. It needs to concern me. I need to be in prayer about that more so than I am. Now, I do try to pray when y'all request prayer. I try to keep that on my mind throughout the week and remember that. I'm not perfect. I forget a lot. But I think that's my place, and I think that's the place of each one of us that's a saved person. When one of our brethren and sister in Christ requests a prayer for someone that's going through something, we need to remember that. It needs to have an impact upon us, just as when my family members are in trouble or having something, my natural family, then that bothers me. I'm upset about it. I'm concerned. I want to do something, and a lot of times I can't do anything. They get into stuff that you can't fix it for them. No matter how badly you want to do that, you can't. But you still have that burden in your heart for them, and all you can do is pray. Well, for the most part, all I can do for the things that I hear is prayer. Now, that sometimes there's more that you can do. I mean, you can take food to people to help them out, to give them comfort. You can be there for them. There are other things. I'm not saying that there's never any actual work to be done, because there often is, and we don't need to shirk that. But I really believe the one thing that we can do that's worthwhile is to take that to God in prayer, to ask God to help the person that's suffering. And that doesn't mean necessarily that everything's going to turn out great the way we want it to, but if God is there to help that person in need, that's a lot. That's what gets me through things a lot of times. I tried to talk a little bit about our relationships in heaven, and I'll just be honest with you, I have a hard time grasping that, putting my mind around it. But I really believe that in heaven we're going to be closer to each other and to people that are saved that we don't even know. We're going to be closer to those people even than we are with our own family here on earth. And that doesn't mean to put down our relationships here on earth, but rather to understand that there's something awaiting us that's much more than we can comprehend. The Bible talks about heaven being eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, things that God has in store for those that love Him. And I think part of that is probably our relationships that we'll have in heaven. Okay, I guess I've said about all that I can say here. I hope I got something across. I hope that this kind of made me stop and think as I studied this lesson. That I don't think I put the spiritual relationships that I have with y'all as high up as I really ought to. I mean, they mean something to me. It's important, and I grasp that it is something very real. But it's like everything else; it's something that I tend to take for granted, and it shouldn't be that way. Then I believe Jesus was trying to tell that to this people here, that these people that do God's will, they're His brothers and His sisters. Now, I believe that Jesus loved His natural brothers and sisters more than any of us can love our own family members. I believe He had a very real love for them, those that were around Him. But He's telling them, those that are children of God, those are your brothers and sisters, your spiritual brothers and sisters. Attend to them. Be there for them as well, I believe is what He was saying. And rejoice with them when they have something good to speak of. When they tell something that God has done in their life, rejoice with them. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments?
Lost soul will be saved in church. I think we should rejoice in all of that. And when we have somebody dies, I think we're going to be in sorrow for them still left people.
Yeah.
And we should, if somebody's child goes to the altar, I think we're going to go with them. show support.
You know, heaven, Jesus up in heaven, you know, before you know, we know the relationships that are through that, that they have, and then come down to try to explain that to us.
Nobody has anything else. We can be dismissed. Let's keep the preacher in our prayers as well. It's the other things that's been mentioned today. I'll ask Brother Jimmy if he would to dismiss us.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be at Sunday school and church. Thank you for the lesson, the one that's brought up to